open your Bibles to the 7th chapter of Hebrews. 7th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to read two verses, you follow me. Verse 17 and 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. Let's pray. Father, you know all our hearts today, except our thanksgiving for this word. Give me a freedom and ease to teach it clearly. Apply it to every heart and life that's here. If there be one lost soul, may that soul put their hope in you. Give me the help that I need and do that for all of us in here. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting verse. He says there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. I mean, commandments are weak? Yeah, they are. You know why they're weak? Because it depends upon us to do them. And as I have watched human nature for the last 79 years, I would say most of us are weak. I don't think there's probably anybody in here, this is January 31st, that is still keeping their New Year's resolution. Some of you broken your diet already. I know all of you decided you'd lose a few pounds. Everybody but me. I already know better. I'm old enough, see. The weakness of the commandment is the weakness of those that are trying to do the commandment. Doesn't that make sense to you?
Amen.
Do you understand that in your human life?
Amen.
It's not that the commandment was necessarily bad. It's not that the commandment in itself is weak in itself. It's weak in the people who are trying to do it, Amen. Keep it, prolong it, in their nature to do so. Now, I've been on enough diets in my life. I've lost enough weight. I've probably lost a couple thousand pounds. And I always put it all back on. Maybe with a little extra every time I go on a diet, you know. So it's a little bit bad for me to decide I'm going to go on a diet. I know it's going to end badly. Now, you can tell me about this new diet you've got, and it won't help. Now, it may help you. I'm happy for all of you that can just trim down and go out and run your marathons and stuff like that. But it doesn't work for me that well. You understand? Take a look at me. I weigh a little bit. Okay. Wasn't funny. Now, it's called weakness. That's the weakness of the law. And it's called unprofitableness. There's no profit to it. So, look at verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. Now, there's a lot of religious people that don't believe that verse. There's a lot of religious people that are trying to teach the law today. They're trying to teach people to fulfill the law, to follow the law, to obey the law, and to think that if you obey the law well enough, you'll actually save your soul, you'll have merit with God, and you'll walk into heaven. Not true. It's not true. There's not a one of you in this room that can keep the law well enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
Doesn't happen that way. And it said, the law made nothing, nothing perfect. What was the law for? Well, you've got to remember, it's for death. The law is for condemnation. The law is there to say, you're wrong. That's not life. That's just showing you where you failed. It made nothing perfect. Nobody was perfect in that Old Testament because they kept the law.
Amen.
But now, the bringing in of a better hope, and I'm going to talk to you about hope today. The bringing in of a better hope. Is there a better hope than the law? Yeah. The law doesn't give me much hope. Every time I read the law, I say, guilty, 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 guilty. Even if you take how Jesus condensed all 10 commandments into 2. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Aren't they beautiful? Do you keep them? No, you don't. I've had people tell me, all I do is I just keep the I don't know what I'm saying. Keep the Jesus two laws. You know, love, I love God and I love my neighbor. No, you don't. You might have a minute in the day where you might have a pure thought towards God. And most of the rest of them are contaminated by your lust.
Amen, amen.
Your will.
Amen.
Your rebellion.
Amen.
Your sin. What do you think about all day long? Watch television. How much of it's good?
Amen.
But we're all entertained by it, aren't we? Oh yeah, sure. Most of us are. It's a real temptation to a lot of people. By the way, I really enjoyed Brian talking about reading the Word. Have you thought, bless your hearts, this is the one thing I can believe in. I don't have many things I believe in. I don't even believe the doctors. And I got 10 of them. You get this old, you got experts for everything. And I know they've lied to me. I know they've lied to me. I knew it when they were doing it. And then proved it later. And I quit those doctors because they were liars. Now, I don't know whether the 10 I have now are liars or not. I take this jumble of pills, shots, all sorts of stuff, 4 shots a day at least, 14, 18 pills a day. Maybe they're killing me. Maybe they're keeping me alive. I have no clue. I don't know. You don't know either. But it's nice to be trusting somebody. Yeah, I am 79. Praise the Lord. Well, there's one thing I can't do is die young and leave a beautiful corpse. Now, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You see that? The bringing in of a better hope. Praise God, I've got a gospel to preach. You know what I've got? I've got a Jesus Christ that came on the scene. That's God in the flesh. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and He gives me hope.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but 58 and a half years ago, I got that hope. And it was a real thing. And though it was made fun of, and even me, I didn't understand it.
Amen.
It's still just as strong, or maybe stronger. Bless your hearts. It was a better hope. You know why? The law doesn't make anything perfect. Religion doesn't make anything perfect. Good works doesn't make anything perfect. You know what makes perfect? The gospel of Jesus Christ. You understand what the gospel is all about? Some people think, well, it's just joining the church. It's turning over a new leaf. It's walking down the front and praying with a preacher. It's getting baptized somewhere. No, 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 my friend. It's a new hope. It's a hope. It's the hope Jesus Christ gives us. What is my hope? Well, one of these days, I'm going to die. I know that for a fact. Unless Jesus comes in the air and I get carried out of here.
Amen.
In the rapture.
Amen.
But the chances are I'm going to die. And when I die, I think you ought to have a barbecue. Don't cry for me, bless your heart. Don't cry for me. I think you ought to have a celebration and a barbecue and the whole bit. Why? Because I'm rejoicing with Jesus. Not because I'm any good. I'm not any good. Not because I've been so great. No, I'm not great. It's because Jesus paid my debt. He wiped out my sins. He removed them far from me as the east is from the west. He buried them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me.
Amen.
Wow. What kind of hope is that? Do you have that hope?
Yes. Amen.
Well, you ought to have it.
Amen.
You ought to have it. The gospel brought a better hope in, and we draw nigh to God because of that.
Amen.
Look over at chapter 6 in Hebrews, verse 18. I'm talking about hope today. Hope's a wonderful thing. That by two immutable, that's unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Wow. You're talking about a statement here. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's in the holy temple back there, only where God dwells, and the high priest could only go once a year. That's where my hope is. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which in within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Where does my hope reach? Now, I've had boats almost all my life. I've dropped a lot of anchors. Lost a few, not many, but I've dropped a lot of anchors. You know what the anchor's for? It's to hold the boat in one place. It's so that you don't go drifting up on the shoals. It's so that you can fish the same spot, so to speak. It's an anchor of the boat, but I've got an anchor of the soul. And the anchor of my soul reaches up into that tabernacle in heaven, past the veil that's there, into the heart of Jesus Christ in the presence of God. Wow. You got a hope like that? You ought to. Do you realize how your hope is anchored? What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thought. Hope is a wonderful thing. Wouldn't it be miserable, miserable life if you didn't have hope?
Amen.
Bless your heart, if you got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got the greatest hope there is. The forerunner's there, even Jesus. He's my high priest. Now, you know what that says in verse 18? It says that hope is a strong consolation. Because we have God who does not lie, He makes the statement. And then because He could swear by no greater, He swore by Himself. God in His own character, which does not lie, and then He makes a swearing. Now you swear on your mother's grave, you swear on the temple, you swear on the altar, you swear on a lot of things. God, because He could get no greater, swore on Himself. That's your hope. My hope is God is not a liar.
Amen.
My hope is God is true. My hope that this word is true. Praise God. Bless your hearts. We have a strong consolation. You know, I've gotten sick. I've been in and out of the hospital. I've had a bunch of operations, and I'm still going. And I'm 79, thank you. But I have strong hope. I have strong hope. Now, I don't have hope that I'll live 15 more years. I don't have that. I don't have hope in a lot of things. I'm not going to get back to what I was when I was 25. Until the rapture. I plan on being 33 and a half for eternity. That's a good age.
Amen.
That's what Jesus was when he died. And that's, well, look at all your athletes. After 33, a few keep going. A few keep going. And you get two old quarterbacks like Manning and Brady. They're both old. And they're going to be gone in a little while. They're 40. 36, 38, 40. Hey, 33 is the top of the line. That's the greatest you can be. I plan on being that way forever. Wonderful. That's good hope. Strong consolation. Do you have a comfort like that? Does that comfort you when you go to bed at night? Do you know about that? Wow. I'm going to wake up and see Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
It'd be all right with me if it were tonight.
Amen.
I'd like to finish this sermon. Because I really like the sermon I'm preaching. I like the hope set before us. That's a consolation for me. I thank God and He's changed my life 58 years ago, and I've been hoping this same hope all that time. I still believe the book. I don't believe the politicians. I don't believe hardly anybody. But I believe this book. Praise the Lord. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Now listen to what it says. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him apart as holy in your hearts. And be ready always. Now listen to me. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. We witness a lot of ways. We preach like I'm preaching now. We preach over the internet as we're doing now. We have gospel tracts covering many different subjects, and we've seen different people get saved. And we've seen people take one of those gospel tracts, hold it for 2 years, and come up here and get saved. Change lives. Wow. But do you know what the best testimony is? You answering somebody the reason for your hope. That's what he says right here. This is a real, good, solid Christian witness. Somebody's asking you, why don't you drink? I've had them ask me that. Why don't you drink? Why don't you smoke? Why don't you drink? Why don't you cuss anymore? Why don't you gamble? I don't do those things. I quit them the day I got saved. And I didn't quit all of them because I thought they were sin. But I got saved and surrendered to preach, and I figured if I tell a dope addict, Jesus can deliver you from that heroin, he'd say, why can't he deliver you from cigarettes? So that was my reasoning. And I'm not saying they're all sin. I'm thinking things are a certain way because of a testimony. I thank God now. I don't have the black lung. Smoked 16 years and quit when I was 21. I'm glad I quit when I was 21. I got saved and I gave up some things. Praise God, because I preach a gospel that has hope. There's hope for you to deliver you from your sin. There's hope for you to build your marriage back again. There's hope for you to get rid of the problems that you're facing. There's hope for you to live a wonderful life. You come to Jesus Christ, He'll change your life if you really come to Him. He doesn't leave you the same. I wasn't the same. My wife didn't marry a preacher. And she told me a time or two, said, I never saw anybody change so much in one day in my life. Boy, she got to change. Because I got a hope. Now, she already had that hope. She didn't know a whole lot about it. She learned a whole lot about it over the years because she didn't want me getting ahead of her on anything. We had that, you know, that little rivalry going all along the years. It was a lot of fun. sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Is God really special to you?
Amen.
That is, does it offend you when somebody takes Jesus' name in vain? It does me. It upsets me. I've told him, I said, why don't you say, oh, Lindell? Why do you say, oh, Jesus? Huh? Something wrong someplace. You need to give an answer. You know what this world needs? It needs to meet some real Christians.
Amen.
This world needs to meet real Christians.
Amen.
Who believe the book, who believe in heaven and hell, who ignore a whole lot of our scientific knowledge today. I'm sorry, but bless your heart, kids. God created the world.
Amen.
You need to be ready, always, it says, to give an answer to every man why you have a hope that he does not have. And I bless you. I want you to understand, it's not your church.
Amen.
It's not your church. It's not your faithfulness to church. It's not because you don't cuss, drink, swear. It's because you have a hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the promises that He's made in His Word, and you take His Word as being gospel. You take His Word as being the Word of God. And what you've got in the New Testament is the revelation of the Old Testament. You can't really understand the Old Testament without the New. Praise God, what you find in the New, it's explaining all these things. Mostly God. I've got a hope. And bless your heart, I'll be glad to spend a couple of hours talking to you the reason I have that hope. And you can have that hope too. You say, well, I'm not good enough. You don't have to be good. You say, well, I'm not religious enough. You don't have to be religious. You just have to believe the Word of God and believe that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. Now, there were 12 apostles. We take one out with Judas, who killed himself and whatever. So we got 11 apostles that walked with Jesus for 3 years. They died doing that. Did you know that? They died still claiming Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We saw Him. Now, after He died and He wasn't with them all the time, He'd been with them for about 3 years. What kept them together? What made them go to their death? What made them exiles on Patmos? What made them be crucified upside down like Peter? What made them go through what they went through if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? He rose from the dead. You got more proof of this than you have of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. What a beautiful thing. I have an answer. Those apostles had an answer. Wherever they went, they said, Jesus is the Son of God. He's the fulfillment of these prophecies. And they started in Jewish churches who knew the prophecies. Go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Brother Brian, I really enjoyed your teaching on reading the Word and whatever. It was a blessing. Thank you. I'm going to attempt a little verse or two here on the same thing. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know why some of you are so weak? You don't read enough.
Amen.
You don't read the Bible enough.
Amen.
You know why things disturb you and bother you and you're so impatient? You don't read the Bible enough. We have a real problem in our day. We got television, we got moving pictures, we've got audio books, we've got all these games. And I hate going into a restaurant and seeing a mother and a father and a daughter and a son, all four of them with their cell phones, nobody talking to each other. Unless they're texting each other around the table. That's impolite in my day. Impolite. You sit down at the table with somebody, talk to them. Look at them. Look them in the face. Have a little bit of fellowship. Well, whatsoever things were written aforetime, now that's what we have in the Bible for all of us. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why was it written? So you could be very smart. Yeah. So you could be exceptional. Our learning. I can learn something. I can learn something about God. You know, if you kept reading the book a little bit every day, it wouldn't be long you'd know some things about God you don't know yet.
Amen.
You'd know something about your life you don't know yet. You might get some more verses to give you a greater hope so you wouldn't be depressed. I know so many people depressed in our generation, it's unreal. You shouldn't be depressed. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. What in the world are you depressed about? When you die, you're going to go to heaven and God's going to make everything work together for your good anyway. He said the Holy Spirit even prays with you and for you to draw you into the will of God. And that Holy Spirit is living within you. You've been sealed with it until God takes you home. Praise God. There's some beautiful things. Now, what does reading the Bible give you? Well, it says patience and comfort. That's what the Bible will do for you. Somebody asked me, he said, you're not worried about Armageddon and you're not worried about the tribulation. You're not worried about the world falling all apart. No, I'm really not. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm more worried about who's going to be elected president of this United States. And I don't see anybody I want there. That's my problem.
Amen.
I'm not pushing for anybody. I don't know anybody now to vote for. And that makes me sad. But I will probably, though I'm an independent, I'll probably vote whoever the Republican candidate is, but whether he stands a chance or not. I like comfort. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. This book gives me hope. I have been down in the dumps. I have been exhausted. And I take that old book of Psalms and just start reading some of David's Psalm. And I would think, I'm not in a cave. Nobody's running around trying to kill me.
Thank you, Lord.
My wife didn't leave me. I don't have a special execution permit from the king. And I'd read what he said. And I'd say, what a man. Man after God's own heart. How did he know God that well? He did. You try reading his Psalms. Probably over half of them you find in the book of Psalms are from David. Tremendous warrior. Good night. 17-year-old kid slays a 10-foot giant. He slays thousands. He's a great general. He's a poet. He makes his own instruments. A musician. This guy is a great man. Yes, he had a great sin too, didn't he? And he lost some of his sons. Maybe because he was so busy running the kingdom or running against the enemies. I don't know. But I read back there and see what he did under his circumstances and think, what kind of a wimp am I with air conditioning, with a V8 automobile, with a comfortable seat, television to numb my mind when I want something to do something to numb my mind, and the Word of God written out for me. Wow, wow. What a blessing it was that I traded my camels off for a New Testament and read that New Testament 20 times the first year that I was saved. 20 times. It was so greasy, and it was so wide. The pages had been folded and had grease all over them because I refueled airplanes in the Air Force. But I got something out of the pages. I began to learn a little bit. I began to find out some things. And there were some things I looked at, I read this, and I don't understand that. You heard about the fellow said he just couldn't believe the Bible? He said Noah had that ark and saved all those people. And he read over here in Exodus, and they're carrying the ark through the desert. You'll figure it out one of these days. I think that's funny. I know when we read about certain things here and certain things there, you're going to have to read it a whole lot, or you're not going to understand it. This is not for sissies. It's not for babies. It's not for somebody who wants to be coddled. It's work for a man. It's work for a grown woman with a desire to know about God. And how are you going to find out about God? This is your only source. You don't have another source. This is your only source. And you know what it says? It says they were written so that we might have hope. That's what this book's for. That's what I'm preaching for. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. If you don't believe the Bible, I really do feel sorry for you. You have a bleak future. 2 Corinthians 3, 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Did you hear this verse? Some of you simple-minded ones. Some of you with such tender feelings that if I say booger, you all just walk out the door and think, what a terrible preacher. He said booger. Had a guy one time walking out the door, and he told me, he was really upset at me because I said booger. I said, what did I say before? He said, I don't know. I said, what did I say after? He said, I don't know. I said, if I hadn't said booger, you wouldn't have got anything out of the message. Seeing then that we have such hope. I've got a hope. Do you have a hope?
Amen.
We have such hope. We use great plainness of speech. We're not making little stories. We're not telling a bunch of jokes. We're reading the Word of God on a subject and trying to get you a little better understanding of hope so that you can have hope. A lot of people in this world don't have hope. Maybe some of you sitting in here right today.
Amen.
There's a lot of people. I've known good Christian people for a while, and they just get so depressed. And I think, aren't you reading your Bible? If you're depressed, you ought to be reading your Bible. I'm talking about mainly the New Testament. New Testament and Psalms, bless your heart, they'll lift your spirits. You read about Jesus Christ, and you listen to Saul, the Jewish man that was fighting Christianity, that became Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. Wow, what a writer, too. I love to read him. I love to read him. It's just beautiful. And wow, does he give you hope. Wow, and he teaches you what you ought to do in the church. Teaches you what you ought to do in your marriage. Teaches you how you ought to raise your children. Bless your heart, you'd have a lot less pain if you spent a little more time reading the book. Maybe you need to get up 30 minutes earlier so you can have 30 minutes that you can read.
Amen.
Maybe you ought to put one in your bathroom. You ought to have a Bible in your bathroom. Don't waste that time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's good. That's not discrediting the Bible. That's not putting it down. That's elevating it, lifting it up. I had a cousin and I got started that way, and he began to read his Bible every morning when he went to the bathroom. And his wife was rebuking him. That's not the place the Bible ought to be read. Hey, the Bible needs to be read every place.
Yes. Amen.
Every day. You ought to have something of the Word of God in your heart to give you hope. And by the way, if you have this hope, you ought to speak plainly. That's what he said. We have such hope. We use great plainness of speech. Now, I've been accused of being too plain, too blunt, too rough, too loud, too old, too ugly. Now, let me tell you something. I'm plain spoken, though. You don't miss my meaning. Most of the time, you know who I'm talking to. You. We use great plainness of speech. Make it clear. I listen to preachers on the radio or the television, and I have went to a lot of meetings in my life. A lot of preachers don't make anything clear.
Amen.
Nothing. And that upsets me. I know I've told some of these stories over and over again, but they're my stories. When I was searching, trying to find a church before I started this one, I went into a church during Christmas time. It was full. I mean, all the pews, beautiful pews, red cushions, white pews, all the pews were full. They had extra chairs laid out besides in the aisles, full. You know what that dumb preacher preached on? The donkey that carried Mary. Can you even find it in the scripture? Can you? Hunt for it. I think you ought to find the donkey that carried Mary. Hunt for it. I wanted to stand up and scream. There's a gospel out there. There's a way to be saved. Your sins can be forgiven. Jesus paid the debt. And if you call upon Him, He'll save you, anyone you are. What an opportunity he had, but he didn't take advantage of it.
Amen.
We need to use great plainness of speech so that anybody that goes to hell that's been listening to us can't blame us. Can't blame us. When you're telling somebody about that hope, you ought to tell them that you were a sinner. You ought to tell them that you were without hope. You ought to tell them that you didn't know what you were going to do. You were just fumbling along in life. You ought to use great plainness of speech. Now, look at 1 John chapter 5. Beginning at verse 10, 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. You got the witness in yourself?
Amen.
He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, made God a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. You see, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're not believing the record that God gave of his Son. You're calling God a liar. And this is the record. Now, what's the record, fellas? Isn't that plain? That's plain as a speech. This is the record. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Anybody got it mistaking that? Anybody with a problem with that statement? This is the record. What is the record? That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple.
Thank you, Lord.
You have Christ as your only hope of salvation. Not the church, not religion, not a priest. Not your baptism, not your good works. You have Christ. What He did, that's your only hope of forgiveness. And you've got life.
Amen.
And bless your heart. If you're still searching, looking for this religion and that religion and trying to find the right one for you, you don't have life. If you're trusting that you've been a very good boy or a very good girl all of your life and you don't really feel like you're a sinner, you don't have life. He doesn't save anybody but sinners. And if you're not a sinner, you're not a candidate to be saved. I did not think of myself as righteous. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. When I called on the Lord, He saved my soul. And He brought a change in my mind and in my heart that has never changed. I threw away most of the books I was reading. I was reading a book a night. We didn't have much television. That's a long ways back, 58 years. And I'd read a book every night before I went to bed. Wife did too. I put aside all my westerns and detective men's things and whatever else I was reading and just started reading the Bible. And that's about all I did for a year. I wanted to know what it said. I wanted to be able to define the terms. I wanted to know what God was offering me, what He had offered me, and what He'd done for me. I wanted to know about God. That's the biggest study you'll ever get. Because I'm still finding out about God. And I've been doing it for 58 years. And I'm still learning about God. That's a wonderful thing. And you know now, I used to decide, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord about that. I'm not going to. When I see Him, I'm going to fall flat on my face in awe.
Amen.
Absolutely flat on my face in awe. Because God is a whole lot bigger than any of us can imagine. He's not just a glorified human being. No, He made us in His image. But God is so much bigger than all things. Have you seen what science has learned in these last few years? If they just turn around and give God the glory for it, they'd be all right. Their problem is they think it's all an accident. Well, the dot that exploded, where'd it come from? Come on, somebody had to make that dot. And somebody had to explode it. What are you going to do? I believe in God.
Amen. Amen.
I believe God. I believe God, the total God, Father, Son, and Holy
Amen.
Ghost, the Godhead, dwelt bodily in Jesus Christ. And when He went to the cross of Calvary, that was the blood of God that was shed for you and me. And He bought me an eternal life that there's no comparison to. None of what I've seen in all the religious circles, and I've met a bunch of them, comes anywhere close to what this Bible gives us. Are you saved? Do you know that if you die tonight, you go to heaven and be with God? Do you know your sins are forgiven? And some of those sins that embarrassed you so much and you keep repeating to God, He says, I don't know what you're talking about. You've already confessed them already. He's already said He removed them from as far as the east is from the west. There's no ending to that. East, west, no ending. Buried them in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more, not even tomorrow. What a blessing God gives. That old thief on the cross certainly wasn't very religious. Certainly hadn't lived a good life. Dying because of his own sins. But he heard enough preaching from the jibes and the insults and the slurs of the crowd down there at this one that's hanging between them. He heard enough preaching. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, I would have a hard time accepting that this man got saved, except for one thing. Jesus said so.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. I can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than that. That's the optimal point of history. History all leads up to that point on the cross where Jesus dies and pays for man's sin, and he saves an old thief that had never been religious, couldn't make a confession of faith, and was never baptized and never did a good work in his life. Well then, would he save you?
Thank you, Lord.
He'd save you. Christian, if you're saved, you ought to thank God every day.
Thank you, Lord.
You ought to thank God today. I'm saved. And I know it. It's a gift. I didn't earn it. I'm not good enough to earn it. God gave me a gift, wonderful gift. Eternal life. And eternal life doesn't begin somewhere down the line. Or when I die, eternal life began September the 1st, 1957. That's when I was born again. That's when it began for me. You have hope? I've got hope. I've got such a wonderful hope, it has made me one of the most optimistic people you'll ever meet. I was Verlaine's eternal optimist. But I am. God Almighty has me in His hand, and He's watching over me. And He watches me every day of my life. And I need to recognize it. I need to honor it. I need to confess it. That He's my Lord. And that He loves me. He goes through everything with me. Praise God. I have a hope that is sure and steadfast. And it's anchored in Jesus and His righteousness and nothing else. Lord, you know every heart here.